And when I receive messages for the people across from me, I cry a lot because the unconditional love over there on the other side of whatever veil we're on overwhelms me.
Welcome to the Becoming Infinite podcast. I'm Cooper Gillespie, a women's empowerment coach, hypnotherapist, and modern mystic living in California's high desert. I believe every person has the power to create the life of their dreams by tapping into the infinite part of themselves. This show is here to inspire you to do just that. So each week we'll explore tools and practices, rituals and routines that you can use for your expansion. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Hey, welcome. If you're enjoying this show, would you take a moment and write us a 5-star review on whatever platform you listen to podcasts on? That would help more people find us. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So today I'm speaking with Holly Hughes, who is an author and an intuitive healer. And it's really cool because we have a lot in common just because we're both writers. And we both know a lot of the same writing people. So we start out our conversation with that, which is pretty fun. And I think you're going to find her intuitive gifts really interesting. She infuses her unique personal style, intuitive gifts, and personal healing stories to guide clients through a step-by-step process to help them claim their voice, passions, and their self-worth. I can't wait for you to hear our conversation. I will see you on the other side. Enjoy. All right. Hi. Welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm awesome. Thank you. This Mercury in retrograde has been an ass kicker for me. So I was so relieved to wake up this morning and not be so intensely intense about everything. So I'm kind of excited.
Yeah. My husband is not a Mercury in retrograde believer, but then it's like, oh, you know, all the cars don't work. Oh, you know, your computer stuff. Are you sure you don't believe? He's like, no, there's a logical explanation. I'm like, yeah, but it's all happening right now.
Yeah. I see my book disappeared from barnesandnoble.com. It unlinked on Amazon. The reviews have disappeared. I'm like, all right, I'm going to stop fixing it. Because every time I fix it, it's like three other things disconnect. And I was like, I hear you. I must surrender. I am not the best at that. So I'm going to practice some of my own, you know, least powerful things, I suppose.
You know, it's been crazy. So yeah, so you were just saying we have a lot of stuff in common. So first of all, how do you know Todd Goldberg and Rob?
So this even kind of ties into this whole empowerment and knowing your story and like the woo-woo stuff. So back in the day, I lived in LA for 18 years and I worked in film and TV production. And I have in my life what I call my starter marriage. So, and my only qualification for picking this man is that I was so young and dumb, right? But I had to fit in his pants. Like that was really the biggest qualification because he was tall and skinny. He was like LA rocker skinny guy, right? So I was like, if I can fit in his pants, we're good. Yeah. And I barely did, but I did. And I was like, all right, that's it. Like within like, I think a week or two, we were living together. I mean, like dumb as dumb could be, right? He was not even fully divorced from his first wife, but he's my starter husband. When I was with him, I thought that he had all the creativity that I didn't. Right? Like I just didn't recognize, like all I ever wanted to be was a writer when I was young. I've always been creative. I've always been writing. My mom is like a physical artist, like paint and sculpture and all that stuff. I don't really have, like I can do it. I have this a talent to do still lifes, but like I'm not a still life kind of person. So it's a strange talent to have. So that was that. And then I got to a point where that guy picked me apart so much that I completely disappeared. I had no self-confidence. I had no self-worth left. And I finally had a good therapist and I got strong enough to leave and take care of myself. And that was huge because I was at that point like afraid of him. So what did I always want to do? There I am at Spelling Television. And I was like, you know, I've always wanted to be a writer. I'm surrounded by all these creative people. Why am I doing budgeting? So I picked up a UCLA extensions thing, and that is how I originally met Todd, right? Like it was that. And actually the first class I took was with Rob Roberge, and I was terrible. I was a terrible, terrible writer, but he was like there clicking his pen. I don't know if he still does that incessantly. And I was like, oh my God, he has to stop clicking his pen. But he was encouraging and he was kind. And I took another class, and then I took an Amy Bender class because I'm way into magical realism and strange, all that. Because hello, I'm woo woo. And then I met Todd and I took some of his. And my favorite Todd quote is, he read some of my work and he pointed out a sentence. He said, see this sentence? It doesn't suck. Make the rest of it this good.
So Todd.
It is. And I kept out all the F-bombs because I don't know like your audience. But, and then he's like, you should really meet, you know, Rachel Resnick. And then I studied with her. And then like, I just am voracious about it. And I never stopped writing since then, since 1998. I've always been writing. So that's how I know him. We're friendly, you know, obviously on social media because he's so ridiculous. So I think he makes me laugh. Even though sometimes when I don't want to, I'm like, you're crazy. You're just totally crazy, but okay.
Yeah, totally. Oh, that's very funny. Yeah, he's the head. So I did the low residency MFA program at University of Riverside. So that's how mm-hmm. I know Todd. But I was a nonfiction major, so I never actually had classes with him. And Rob is actually one of the big reasons why I wanted to go there, because I just admired his writing so much. But once again, he mostly taught fiction. So I never got a chance to have a class with him. It's like, that's so crazy, because he was really the big reason why I went there. But yeah, so that's how I know all of them. And Rob and I actually, well, he has a house out kind of near where I live. So we're both desert people. We have that in common.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I write personal essays and memoir too, right? So I studied with Sam. Now I just did fiction as well. I didn't think I ever had it in me to write a fiction book. I've written several now. And the funniest thing is the first thing that actually is out is my nonfiction, right? So it's kind of it's like so full circle, which is what I think this Mercury in retrograde is all about. Like for me, I was like, all I do, all I hear the same message over and over, and it's really pissing me off, is what you thought isn't meant to be. And I was like, I have been working for decades. What do you mean it's not meant to? What is coming? They're like, something else. And I'm like, well, be specific. They're like, no. I'm like, I can give better readings to people who come see me. I don't get any information. They're like, no. You get nothing. You just sit in your discomfort and just, you know, stewing.
Yeah, that is one of the interesting things about the universe. It's like you can try so hard to make stuff happen or manifest, and then sometimes the universe is just like, this isn't for you. Nope, not right now. We're not going to explain it. And then, you know, like 15 years later, you're like, oh, that was awesome that I didn't get that thing, because otherwise all this other stuff wouldn't have happened. But it takes time. Unfortunately, we live in time. So yeah, you have to wait to find out.
Yeah, time for me is definitely the most annoying thing. Like I study Kabbalah a lot, right? And they're like, you can't let go. You have to let go of time, right? Because the world doesn't work in our linear pattern. And I'm always like, why? Like, give me something, just a little, no. No. I even tell that when I read people, I'm like, I can give you like general months, but specific times. I'm not good at that either, but it's just all I know. They're like, we're waiting for the right time. I was like, well, for fuck's sake, I'm 52. When is the time already? Like, let's go. Let's start.
And then you look at like people like Louise Hay, who I don't think she started Hay House until she was like 60. So, you know, it's just like, stuff happens when it happens. And
I think it makes me crazy when I see people like I kind of mostly off Twitter now because I think I aged out.
It's but mean on Twitter. I don't like it there.
They're so mean. When I started there and I was writing my young adult fiction, it was an amazing community and people were like cheering each other on. And now they're just like, any reason to cancel you, like you offend me, I'm going to find something in your past. Like, I'm just going to bring it up and shame you. But we're about inclusivity. I'm like, you get that you're not inclusive, right? It's not working. There's a lot of people, they're like, I'm 25 and it hasn't happened yet. And I'm like, come here. I just want to flick them in the head. I'm like, you don't even really know how to adult exactly yet. I'm like, you're doing it. I'm proud of you for being in those first steps.
God,
but you know,
a baby at 25. I feel like, you know, whenever people are like, oh, I wish I could go back and be younger. I'm like, not me. maybe at a 33. 33 was like when I started to kind of get it together. But before that, no, I don't want to go back there. I don't.
No way. I don't either. Are you kidding me? My 40s rock. I was like, oh, yeah, give me my early 40s. I had that shit together. Yeah. I'm good.
So how is your, have you always been quote unquote woo woo, as you say, or how did that kind of develop in your life?
I think I'm like you that way. I always was. I didn't know everybody else wasn't. I was conscious and unconscious about it. Like I saw things in the dark. Someone in my family gave me an antique desk chair that was in my bedroom. And that thing scared the shit out of me every night because, can I say those words in your thing?
Sure.
It's like, yeah. it's only 9 o'clock your time, but I'm noon. I've had my coffee.
Yeah.
There was a rose carved into the back of it. And at night it changed faces.
Oh no.
So I would pile all my clothes on it, try to, you know, hide it. And then I had someone who talked to me every night because I was so afraid of the dark. And it, I guess a lot of people would call that your imaginary friend, but it wasn't. It was an energy and it was a man and he made me comfortable and feel safe. And we talked all the time, almost every night. I had a special way of calling him inside my head. I never spoke out loud. And by the time I was like 12-ish, he was like, I can't come anymore. It's time for me to go. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then he wouldn't come every time that I called him. And then he's like, I'm not going to come back. You've hit an age where I won't come back. And I never heard of him again. But that was my normal, wow. Right? And woo-woo wasn't really out of sorts in my house. Like I met Ramtha. June, do you ever hear of Ramtha?
Oh, Ramtha had her compound or its compound. I don't know what you call it, but up by where I live in Yelm. I grew up in Tacoma, Washington, which isn't far away.
Okay.
And I remember my stepsister's dad was a big devotee and they'd always go out there to, I think Jay-Z Knight was the lady's name. Yeah, they'd go out there to her compound.
Well, like as a teenager, my parents, we all went. It was like this, my whole family went
really?
To see Ramtha. She was like doing something. I grew up on Long Island. Don't judge me. And it was like something over there. And I went to see her and I think she got fake after a while. Honestly, like I think she was real. And then I think it went away, but she just kept it up. You know, she had a business.
Yeah.
But when I looked at her, her face changed from an old man to a young man. I saw two guardians behind. I saw all this shit. I was just in the audience and I didn't, again, I like asked my parents, like, do you see, like, I didn't know if they were projecting things because I had no control over my gifts. But before I had control, when I was around someone who had intuitive abilities, they would amplify mine. And so at one point in the day, Ramtha, that little, she was like 5'2", tiny, right? She's walking around the room. And I walked up to her. Everyone else was like sitting down in meditation. This is me. I just got up and walked up to her because, you know, why not? And she picked me up and I was much bigger than her. And she told me the secret I hadn't told anyone, what? Which was about my sexual assault that I had never told. Right? Like I didn't tell my parents or no one knew. And so she's like, I know about that. And like, she tried to send me healing for it. And it just, brain, right? It was trippy. So go on with my life. I always had intuition. I didn't always really listen to it, although I think it saved me, right? So I had a house fire, lost my home at 17 to that. And then I was in the LA earthquake in 93, right? Lost my home to that. And I was physically okay, but mentally, obviously not. But I got to a point when I started healing that I was like, I need to control this a lot more because I would have a few drinks and there'd be dead people. And I was like, really?
I heard that. I worked in bars for a long time and the energies in there are so crazy. And I've heard a lot of times that it's spirits. I mean, they call it spirits, right? But will hang out there because once people start drinking, they can like get into their bodies easier, you know?
I don't know about that. I really don't like being a channel that way. And they're like, we're coming in. And I'm like, get out. You're like, they'll mess with my jaw. One time a very overweight person sat on me like energy wise. And I was like, get off of me. So I had all that. And then I just learned at one point to really get a control of it. So I'm answering this super long winded. I ended up getting sick. Right. And I ended up having to have a surgery. I had a hysterectomy and they removed that energy center. When I woke up from the surgery, it was quiet in a way I've never heard because they literally took out an energy center.
Whoa.
So I was like, I got really depressed. I was like, shit, is this what people are like? Is this what other, because I'm so used to, it's a quiet noise, but it's a noise. Like there's a feeling I'm always feeling, right? So I had to relearn. And when I call rewiring, when I relearned how to connect to everything, I was so much stronger, had so many more gifts and abilities, and way more control. I really hated when other people thought they were helping me. I'm air quoting, hate air quotes. Todd hates air quotes. But they're like, attached to the universal womb, Holly, and you will connect. No, no, don't say that to me. I'm like a no BS person. That's not it. That's not how it works for me. Please don't say that.
Yeah.
And for anyone who's gone through great loss, all the losses that I had before that, if you're saying that to me, you're like, it's like totally trigger. Like it is. You're like a woman who's had miscarriages and problems and this and that. And you're telling me to reach the universal womb.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you to go F yourself. Honestly, I'm just like, no, don't tell me that.
Oh, yeah.
You can say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'll take that, but not the.
No. I know. I struggled with infertility for years and, people would always say like, well, you know, if you align your energy and blah, 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 it's like, fuck you, you know, like that's not helpful to me. It's just not helpful.
Totally not. Totally yeah. not.
Wow. So then after you started taking classes and kind of, I guess, accepting your writer self, then how did you, because I think a lot of people would like to write a book, but I think a lot of people are very intimidated by that. How long did it take you to sort of write a book?
That's a good question. I think the best way to write a book is just put some words on a page. And I think the less you know about writing a book, the better when you're going to write that first draft. Just write. Just keep going. I like classes because I like the support. I like deadlines. I like the camaraderie of authors, of people who have the same passion and dream. I think it's something beautiful to share that experience. I started writing memoir. And it got really way too heavy for me. Like I was having miscarriages then too, right? So it was like too much grief processing my interesting relationship with my dad, whom I love, but is an alcoholic. And I don't know if he was sober yet when I started writing it, you know, like, so the complexity of that kind of thing for me. And then I did get pregnant, and then roasting someone for doing his best as an addict wasn't really where my heart was. So I started writing this magical realism stuff. And then someone's like, well, you should write young adult fiction. And this is what I do every time I start. I'm like, okay. And I just say yes. And I think I usually tackle it one story at a time. I wrote a bunch of short stories first. And I was like, I could never write a book. And then I did. And I think it's like young filmmakers, if you don't know all the hangups, you just do it. Right. So I think my advice for anyone wanting to try to write a book is just keep doing it one page at a time. Creativity for me right now at this point, post pandemic, is exceedingly challenging. Right. Like I am scrapping a book that I wrote half of because something's not right and I don't know what it is. So I'm like, I'm just going to give it time. I think good writing, you need reflection as well. And we all obviously know that I'm a little impatient. Because that whole time thing. So that's always really hard for me. And I have to force myself to take months away from work. I think if you come up to a problem in a story, the problem probably started 20 pages before.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think the thing about writing a book is like, do it. And you don't have to do it like anybody else. My process for fiction is a really rough draft. And it's about plot, which is the hardest thing for me because I start a story with an emotional truth. Mm. Like, what is the emotional truth of this person? Where's their pain and what are they going to overcome emotionally? And then I know that person and then I go on and then plot. And sometimes I'm like, something's got to happen here, but I love her. I love her. I don't want to hurt her. I'm like, and then you have to ask, how can you make it worse?
Yeah.
And then that's how you write a good story.
I know, torturing your characters. That's probably why like screenwriting was always a challenge for me. That was one of like my minor or whatever. And it was like, I just don't want anything bad to happen to any of my characters. And unfortunately, that's the, all you got to do is like, how can I torture them more? How can I torture them more?
100%. 100%.
Yeah, totally. I was just recently rereading Romeo and Juliet. And I was like, God, Shakespeare's so good. He was like the master because like literally every scene is like, here, I'm going to like make it even harder for you. Every single scene is like that. Oh, so good. Jealous. Hashtag jealous. I need those skills. And so then in the work that you do now, in the intuitive work, how do you work with people?
I can do a session phone, Zoom, or in person, but in general, a session is an hour. And I think I really have the ability to help people in transition, right? When they know something's wrong, but they don't know how to name it, or they're in acute pain and they like relationship, career, like there's something's not right. And they don't want to go into their past. They can like show up and I just start getting it all. So when you come into the room or I'm looking at you or on your phone, I'm just tuning in to you. And then I will start getting physical sensations in my body, like where there's pain or illness or something like that. And then I'll just draw out the emotion, right? Like what is happening, and we'll have a conversation about 40 minutes. And after that, then I do like a guided meditation and energy work just for them in the room. And I often like to say the body will tell me things your mind and spirit don't. Like my favorite story of that is I had a client who had been divorced for a couple of years and was ready to date. She's like, I'm ready to be in a relationship. I really want to be in a relationship. I'm like, okay. So we did some stuff and we got like to the table work, and we'll just say like, I don't touch people and I don't do Reiki. I just like literally move my hands around them. So my hand was, you know, above her first chakra, we'll just say, right? I was like, so who's Johnny? And she's like, what? I go, you might say you're into a relationship, but your body's into Johnny. And she's like, he's my booty call. And I was like, well, keep it up. I'm like, if you're you're a grown ass woman and you're enjoying yourself some Johnny. Enjoy some Johnny.
Your body's into Johnny. That's hilarious.
Oh, she just turned beet red. I was like, well, you kind of came because I know these things, right? I was like, don't feel like, have some fun. You got married young. You're not married now. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. Wow. So you've been able to work back your intuition then, because you said mm-hmm. it kind of went away for a little bit, but it seems like come back. Did you have to do work to do that, or did it just happen naturally?
I consciously did a lot of work, and I learned to ground different, and energy moves through me differently. And I call it leveling up. I just have connected to different things. A lot of people really like to define it. Like a lot of people are like, I work in fifth dimensional things. I work in 12th dimensional healing. I work with this. I'm not into that.
First of all, no one knows what that means.
Yeah, exactly. But like people are really into it, right? Like, have you seen, they're like, this is good.
And I'm always like, I don't know what you mean.
Or there's a lot of people who talk in circles and never say anything specific. And I'm just like, I just can't even listen to your book. I just can't. I'm honest, and I'm very, the most gentle version of my personality in the room. It's a really safe space, but I'm also direct. Like, you know, I don't have an agenda for a person's healing. Like, what do you want? Like, some people are in relationships. They're just trying to get through high school, right? They're trying to get through and they know that marriage isn't going to last. Or some people really want to work on their relationships. There's like so many dynamics. As a healer, I don't have a say-so in what you want. I just want to help you do what you want, right? So like, I have a different perspective that way. And I don't name a lot of stuff. Like, I see angels to me don't speak English. So sometimes their name is like, it's like an old joke I saw on a comedy show. It's like, you know, it's Jerry Seinfeld joke. It's like, you know, he's got the symbol for boron in his name. I don't know what the hell it is. And I try to interpret it, right? Like, and it's, and everyone's like, well, what does my guide look like? I don't know. It looks like an interdimensional being. I'm like, if I'm seeing it in my head, but I don't know how to explain that to you. It's like shape and color and a wave. Like, so they're like, is it grandma? I'm like, your grandma is your grandma. It's not an angel. It's like, you know, that's kind of like my thing. Like, I'm like, I tell people like, I'm Jewish, right? In general. But in general, right? But like what I see and feel is not limited to dogma or religion. It's purely spiritual. It's all love-based. And when I receive messages for the people across from me, I cry a lot because the unconditional love over there on the other side of whatever veil we're on overwhelms me. And it just makes me cry, especially when it's meant to help someone. And that's what I really, that's like the joy of it for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. It's too bad everyone can't just tap into that more because, yeah, I've definitely felt that before, feeling beyond the veil and feeling that just like that total love and acceptance. And it's a beautiful thing, you know, wish we could hold on to it all the time.
I like to say, I also ask people to make sure they stomp their feet and maybe sip water before they drive. I'm like, please don't drive in this state because I can't live in this state. I wouldn't be able to do laundry and go food shopping. You know, I wouldn't be able to like, I used to have bruises all over me because I would walk into shit because I wasn't ever grounded. And then this one woman, she's like, you got to ground. I was like, gravity. She's like, you're going to get powerful the minute you figure it out. I was like, I don't want to. She's like, Holly. I'm like, I don't want. Yeah. And then I did. I was like, all right, I get it. Now I don't have bruises all over. It kind of feels a lot better too, but whatever.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. This year for me has been a lot about getting into my body and grounding in something that I also have never been particularly interested, probably for different reasons than you. Like I just get so stuck in my brain. And that's been very interesting to me because one of my big realizations this year is that everything lives in our body. Everything lives in our body. And if you can work with your body, you can heal yourself a lot.
So how do you ground? Do you like imagine through your feet? Do you like, how do you imagine it? Because I see it different for you. Because yeah. If you're doing through your feet, I could help you. I can make it so much easier.
Yeah, there's a couple ways. So yeah, definitely like through my feet. Like I all imagine like the light of the universe coming through my head and then the light of the earth coming up through my feet and like kind of like commingling. And breath work. Breath work's been huge for me this year as to get into my body. That's been a really big deal for me.
Yeah. Like, so can I tell you this stuff? I haven't been reading you, but like, yeah. I have a thing. Yes. Okay. So, please, okay. Please. So from your, I guess your solar plexus, your diaphragm, I'm feeling my body. You can't see that. Yeah. I'm glad. So like from your diaphragm down to your hip bones and then make a triangle there from that space, from that part of your core, I want you to pull up from earth there, not your feet.
Oh, okay.
Your feet want to do this. Wee! So like you're kind of imagine like you're on an earth swing and your feet are up and swinging. So I need like your sits bone, your hips and up to your diaphragm. Oh, I'm going to activate it. Ooh, this is fun.
Okay. Okay.
I try not to do this when I talk to people, but like it's too fun and I'm starting to sweat. So I have to.
Okay.
So I want you to imagine it as a three-dimensional energy. And it's really like, it's got the words they're using is star capacity. And so I want you to know that I'm going to ground you other of earth. So I know that you're a body, but your soul is what they're calling other of earth. That's what they're saying. I won't remember what I'm saying because I'm channeling. Okay. So you're going to have to play this back and be like, what is this woman saying to me? And that is how you attach. You're super into the Egyptian goddess that way. And so you can, when you ground into earth, although this is why you're in the desert, right? That is of your thing. But I think you need to, I'm going through the cities I know in Egypt. That's what I'm doing in my head. So, I mean, Luxor, everyone knows, and you could kind of go there, but it's not. If I were you, honestly, I would go onto a map and like look up Egypt and find your town, like where, and say, where am I from?
Oh, wow.
And then pick it. Cause it's like a high something, H-Y. H-Y, and there's a G and an E, I don't know, but that's English. So that's not Arabic, but it's not Luxor. It's not a big one. It's smaller, but you're of that,
oh, wow.
Right? And you're of a temple there. And so when you go to ground into to get quiet or whatever, or pull your power, even your creativity, and also your artwork will change when you do this. Like I'm seeing like kind of collage, but it's not collage. So I don't know. It's like this. There's paint and there's stuff and it's bigger. And I feel like you're going to move the canvas or something. I don't know. Like it should move.
Okay. Awesome.
Go have fun with that. Yeah. Anyway, if you ground into that, in that feeling, you are going to feel power. So like when I used to originally ground, I felt drained. I was like, oh, earth is so heavy. But when you do it this way, it'll be like a vibration kind of coming up into you. And then you'll get all these things in your third eye and you'll have all these creative ideas.
I love that. I want to do that. Thank you for
that. Yeah. But it's like a three-dimensional, like I would try to draw, but you're an artist and I would embarrass myself. But it is very much like, it's more than a pyramid. It's got an extra two angles in it inside of you from diaphragm, hips down. And that's where your core is that way. It's not the shape everyone thinks. It's not like round, spinny. You're cool and triangular.
I love it. Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Wow. How cool. Yeah. I love it when you're like, I'm not reading you. Is that a thing? Are people sometimes like afraid to be with you because you might read them?
No. I usually try not to do it during a podcast because I usually ask for permission. Do you know what I mean? When I first started being like opening my office, a lot of people would just start walking near me like for a freebie. I was like,
you're like, you feel anything?
Yeah. So, Gino, like, I'm like, I don't know the lottery numbers. If I did, I would have picked them. And, right. You know, I don't want to be on. I want to be me too. Yeah. Right.
I would think that would be hard to just be hearing and like feeling people all the time. It'd be too much.
Yeah. I mean, the beginning of COVID was horrible, right? Because as an empath, between COVID and people being murdered, I was done. I was not good. I was not in a good way for many months. So I was like, this is too much. Just have to like work on that boundary.
I think a lot of people felt that. We're coming out of it. Feels a little hopeful now, but that was a long year.
Yeah, it was for sure. Were you creative during that year or was it hard for you?
No, it was very hard for me. In fact, yesterday was just practicing my bass for the first time in like 6 months. And I was like, wow, I have no hand strength. I got to start really practicing because I just had no desire to pick up my instrument, no desire to make music. I wrote a memoir too that needs a lot of work, and no desire to work on that. I'm finally starting to feel like I can do it again, but this, I don't know. It was like a depression, except for it wasn't a depression. I know what depression feels like, but it was like it in that I was really incapable of functioning creatively. It was very strange. Yeah.
I 100% had a conversation with my agent. She's like, I need a book by the end of the summer. I was like, it ain't happening. She was pissed. I was like, did you not know what just happened? Like, I know some people were miraculously creative and I am awe-inspired by them. And there are some really famous authors who wrote during really hard times. But yeah, no, I indie published and edited my own book. And so like, I've been doing something else, you know, like I'm like, I could handle part of the business part, but I couldn't like be inspirationally creative. Yeah. That was really hard.
It's a long year, but it feels like we're coming out of it.
We're coming out.
We're just about at our time. I want to be respectful of your time. Where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah. So I'm most active on Instagram at Holly Hughes Intuitive. I know that's a tough one. My website is hollyhughesintuitive.com. Yeah. Find me there. I'm there a lot.
Thank you so much for coming on today. This was rad.
Wasn't that a great conversation? All right, here are my key takeaways from this episode. Number one, there is overwhelming, unconditional love for us on the other side of the veil. Number two, it's okay if you aren't able to be creative during the pandemic. A lot of other people, including Holly and myself, have had difficulty creating too. Sometimes I really think that just being able to get up in the morning and, you know, have a day is enough during this time because it's been really overwhelming in a lot of ways, I think, for many of us. Number three, don't let anyone ever dim your light. If you are feeling called to explore creativity or any other gift, it's because that gift lives in you. Find teachers and mentors to help you develop those gifts and let your light shine, baby. All right. Thank you so much for listening today. I know you have a million things that you probably have to do or that you could be doing, and it means so much that you spent this time with me today. You can find more information at my website, coopergillespie.com, and I'll see you next week.
Until next time.